What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right. Back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this Chris Harrington thing. Back on the Jeff Calkins Show, Chris Harrington joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
I'm so tired. A John Lennon song from the Beatles' so-called White Album. In honor of the Grizzlies, who got into Denver at like 3 a.m. or whatever.
Yeah, they got quite the task ahead of them tonight. You were there last night. Hey, you could still be tired. Are you so tired?
I'm pretty tired, yeah.
I like the fact that when I was reading your piece at the Daily Memphian, it reminded me that there was a first half that was kind of fun.
Now, if you were like living and dying strictly with the Grizzlies, you could have watched that first half and said, man, we're shooting like this and we're only up five. Yes. That's real life. But if you're just a basketball fan watching the game, like I imagine around the country, people watching the game, like that was a great first half of basketball to watch.
Yeah. You know? Ant and Ja going at it. Grizzlies shot 65%. From the field, 70% from three in right. That first half.
This was a game where John Morant, Desmond Bane, and Jaren Jackson combined to shoot 15 of 30 from three in FedEx Forum against a good team, but not the Thunder.
Right.
And you lose like that. That tells you, to me, it tells you a lot about the defensive infrastructure around them at this point.
Yeah. So we had the third quarter, which was something else. 18 of 21, 7 of 8 from 3, 9 of 10 from the line. Obviously, Ant is a phenomenal basketball player, but what happened?
Well, this is, I mean, 52 is a record, but like they've had lots of other halves 50, and quarters like this season. Yep. And so it's a similar thing where, you know, at some level it's like, well, guys gotten hot and you could be in the empty gym not shooting that well. But when you let good players get comfortable and get right into a rhythm, then they start just shooting crazy, you know? And it's you know, it's part them, but it's part your defense is letting them get comfortable and letting them walk in. You let Anthony Edwards, to watch him, a guy that big and that athletic should not shoot the ball that smoothly.
It's incredible.
And it's just, you know, so they let him get comfortable. And a lot of that game, that was very playoff-esque in that the Wolves were hunting for specific matchups. Let's get our best scorers on their worst defenders and let's go at them. And that happened from the jump. Like Julius Randle, they ran Julius Randle, Rudy Gobert pick and rolls like three straight times to get a switch for Julius Randle to go to Zach Edey and hit three straight jumpers. And then Edwards was scoring on everybody, but there was a long stretch of that game when he was hunting out Aldama and he was scoring on Aldama. He scored on Aldama more than any other individual defender. And, you know, that's just the way it works, man. You find the weakness and you hammer it.
So when you said defensive infrastructure, is that largely roster?
Yes. I mean, coaching matters a lot for defense, but I'm talking about mostly roster. I mean, if you think about, and it's a mixture of questionable decisions and bad luck. It's both. But if you think about the roster that this team came into the season with, which may have already had its own problems, but if you go back to that roster, and if you rank like all the players 1 through 15 and just in terms of like defensive ability, well, Brandon Clark, Jalen Wells, Marcus Martin, Jake LaRavia are all in the top half of the list. And none of them are available to play right for you in that game. And so it's just the defensive ability around the three guys has just is really falling apart over the course of the season for various reasons. I mean, I do think, not to excuse like the questionable decision making, but if Brandon Clark and Jalen Wells are both in that game, like that's a lot different game.
I think both those things are true. You can't lose those two players heading into the playoffs and just
absolutely brutal.
Having said that, the fact that it becomes so brutal suggests that there wasn't enough else around them.
100%.
They were more important
than
they should have
been. One guy's a rookie and one guy is coming off a major injury and like doesn't
and that's
has never
it?
Played right. more than 20 minutes a game, and like it's not a huge shock that you have injury issues with Brandon Clark. That's baked in.
Right. Yep. So, yes, it's absolutely a blow, and it's bad luck, which exposes the problem.
The two things compounded each other. Right.
In terms of that, it's just, you know, and there'll be a lot of time for this stuff, and we've talked about it a lot.
They're still going to win 47-49 games,
exactly,
by the way.
That's the thing.
You know?
In the end, like, they played Charlotte the other night. Like, look what they do. Like, they're a good basketball team.
That's right.
They're just...
Not as good as they should be right now. That's
they're not as good as they should be, and they're not as good. I mean, we talked about this before. You've talked about the lack of athleticism on this team before. It has been a...
That really got exposed in that game.
It has been a theme for you. But you look at, like, the middle class that team. They've got Naz Reid, DiVincenzo, McDaniels, Alexander Walker. Like,
that's
they've
right.
got... And what's the Grizzlies' middle class? You know, it's...
Zach Edey's a rookie...
Scottie Pippen was a G League guy. He's an admirable player.
Santi's a one-way player right now. Right. Pippen, to me, has like been the best revelation of all this. I think he's legit. But he's legit as like a really good backup point guard, third guard, right? He's your eighth guy, your seventh guy, not your fourth or fifth.
Yes. And that gets back to, you know, we talked about this. Once upon a time, 2 years, was it 2 years ago? 2 years ago that it was Dylan, Tyus, Melton, Kyle, and Adams, some hurt, whatever, but that's what was around these three.
Right.
And then the efforts have been Roddy, Zaire, Marcus Smart, Jake LaRavia, Luke, like guys who they have.
There's a scenario, in an easy scenario, like a very, very easy scenario, where last night they could have had Marcus Smart, Jake LaRavia, and Dorian Finney-Smith all on the rotation. Like, that was that almost happened.
Do we really believe that the Dorian Finney-Smith was for want of an extra second? What was it? We believe it fell apart. Why?
Well, it's somewhat unclear. The Grizzlies were offering their first this year, but they wanted Brooklyn's second back. And so, at the time, that seemed like a 10-12 spot difference, right? That's not a lot of value to take on when you're giving up Dorian Finney-Smith and you're taking John Conchar's contract. Plus, Brooklyn already has like four first-round picks this year, and so I don't know if it's true that the Grizzlies, that trade would have happened if the Grizzlies had not asked for the second back. If that is true, the Grizzlies should have just not asked for the second back and the trade should have happened, but I don't know for a fact that would have happened.
That is true. Remind me, because yes, it's hard not to think Marcus Smart would have helped and Jake LaRavia would have helped last night. What did they get by giving up Marcus Smart when they gave up Marcus Smart?
It's a good question. I mean, they got his contract off the books this summer, which either A, could help enable a Jaren Jackson Jr. renegotiate and extend if he does not make All-NBA, and I think they wanted to start to carve that path in case they needed to go all the way down the path. I don't think they finished carving the path if they need it, but they started to carve it. And or if that doesn't happen, it creates if Jaren makes All-NBA and you do the extension in a different route, it gives you more flexibility to do something else. I mean, basically, they decided they didn't think Marcus Smart was going to help them. And if he's not going to help them now, why do you want him on the books for $20 million next season? Let's find other things to do with that, which is defensible. I just don't know. It's defensible. I don't know that it's true. When I wrote on, you can go back and read my column. I wrote it 2 hours after the deadline or whatever. The first line in that column was, first, do no harm. And my implication was, it would have been better to do nothing at all. Now, and then from there, I went on to explain this is why I think they did what they did. The awful truth. Everyone has their reasons, that old French movie taught us. And so there was a rationale for what they did, but that doesn't mean they're right. And so I don't know. They did. They obviously determined Marcus Smart's not really going to help us, and I don't know that they were right about that.
But then also they determined, and he's more movable now than this summer?
Well, if you want to make the contract go poof, that's the missing part of that thing. People say, well, you could have moved him this, right. You could have moved him this summer in a different kind of deal. If your goal was to make the money disappear, that was going to be harder in the summer than it was at the deadline. If your goal was to use the contract to get something back, to get more salary back in a different form, that's a different question.
Luke didn't play last night.
Yeah, I don't, you know, the post-game stuff was so quick, no one had a chance to ask about that. There was other stuff to ask about. So I don't know whether there was a physical thing or it was just a, like, you know, this guy's been struggling and this is a bad matchup. I assume it was the latter. Given the athleticism difference on the court, that didn't seem like a good game for a Luke Kennard who's been slumping.
Right.
My assumption, and I don't know whether this will be true, my assumption is he'll play tonight. I think he should. He'll be fresh. He'll be one of the few guys who's fresh.
They were saving him.
They probably should throw him out there and see if he suddenly snaps out of it. And if he doesn't, you can always put him back on the bench. But I think that was probably a bad Luke Kennard game last night.
They were faced with this dilemma after the 52-point third quarter.
Yeah.
They were faced with this dilemma of how far into the fourth to play their starter.
Yeah, and I thought, again, who knows if this will mean he'll be a good NBA head coach down the line, but on so many things, I thought his answer was really interesting and really, like, you know, he really listens and answers the questions. And I asked him about this, and, you know, and he basically said, like, I'm elaborating from what he said, but he basically said, like, we have an internal, you know, decision that's like, what I'm gathering is that it's like, what's the deficit? How much time is left? Is it still possible to come back? And that they keep an eye on that. Mm-hmm. And basically the team was like right on the tipping point of it the whole time. And so it was like, they were just close enough to keep trying and just close enough to keep trying. And so basically every time out, we were debating, should we keep trying or not? And they were always just close enough. And sure enough, they got it to a 10-point game of 4 minutes to go. You can win a 10-point game of 4 minutes to go, but it was a tease. And it's not surprising it was a tease. It felt that way, right? But they were just
never felt, yeah.
And so you end up expending all this energy and not getting anything out of it. And I don't know. To me, that's a question. It's a question. And he said, like, it was a tough decision. It was not an obvious decision. And obviously it didn't work out. But, it's easy to see how that was a tough decision to make.
My favorite answer of his last night was, and I don't know what the context was. Again, it was a quote from your piece. He said, for anyone who's suggesting, well, except for this bad quarter, he said, that's what all bad teams
all
say.
All bad teams say.
All bad teams say.
We would have done better if not for the part where we did poorly, right?
My beloved Buffalo Sabres would have had a great year this year, except for the 13-game losing streak that they had in the middle of the season.
Not for that, right?
We just got rid of that.
If it weren't for our terrible defense, we would have been pretty good. Yeah.
If it weren't for that 52-point third quarter, I just love that one. What was his affect? I mean, his affect is probably his affect. Like, what was his affect after this one?
He's pretty even.
Do efforts like that have any bearing particularly on his future?
I don't know. I really don't know. I think it's a tough spot to be the interim coach in that situation. You got 9 games to go.
Right.
Your defense is a mess. You can't really change much scheme-wise. And, hey, you're playing the Lakers tomorrow, and then you're playing the Celtics, and then you're playing the Warriors, and this is the play. It's a tough spot. So I don't know. I think their evaluation will come when it's all over, and that'll be – I think a lot of that will do with the buy-in of the players. I don't think there's any question about the quality of his basketball mind. He's had head coaching success, and I know it's not in the NBA, but there's a pattern of head coaching success in other professional basketball situations translated. Taylor Jenkins was a successful head coach in the G League. You know, Dave Yeager was a successful minor league head coach. Mike D'Antoni is a successful head coach in Europe. You can go George Karl, on and on and on. Head coaching, being a head coach is different from being an assistant. And he has been a head coach. It's not Mark Averone. It's not like the guy with good ideas. It's like he has been a head coach. And so I think they like his mind. They like that he's comfortable as a head coach. And, like, do they think he can get maximum, you know, effort and buy-in from the stars? That's what matters.
By the way, on the on the national TV broadcast and then again on the national radio show that precedes ours, they were highly focused again on Ja and his celebration. I just think
it's easy content. Point, that's what it is. Just, it's just good content.
Ja was so not the problem.
What I don't like is the hypocrisy of the hand wringing about it when secretly you love it because it's an easy thing to talk about. He's doing you a favor to give you easy stuff to put on your broadcast and to put on your social media and to put on everything else. And I don't like the hypocrisy of all that.
I just thought, whatever.
It also had nothing to do with the game.
Not only that, he wasn't the problem. Charles Barkley said, yeah, he pulled the plug and blew up the Grizzlies season. Well, he did that, the third quarter. Ja was great last night.
Ja was great last night. Yeah. And Ja, was putting in good effort on defense. And, honestly, the fans were having fun with the celebration. He was hitting the threes. And, it literally has nothing to do with anything other than it's this phony thing. Right. And there's lots of real issues with Ja. This one is 100% a phony thing.
How were the fans having fun with the celebrations?
Apparently, I couldn't hear this because where I was, but Drew said there were some times where he would throw the bomb and fans would go boom. and there was one thing where there was during one of the first quarter timeouts, there's one of the bits where the fan is doing some shooting thing, right, and the fan hit the shot and the fan did the same celebration. I got no time for people trying to make something of this thing as if it matters. It does not matter.
The foul trouble didn't help. The two fouls at the end of the first half.
I don't know. I mean, to me, the foul thing, there's a level of Pavlovian to that, too, right, where it's somebody gets a foul, get mad about it. Jaren played 37 minutes and didn't foul out. Who cares? Who cares? He played 37 minutes.
Now, Isola brought it up. He said
Isola brought it up in the context of
being self-critical.
Yes. But honestly, he changed it. Quick, he took both guys out, and then for a minute said, "Never mind, we're playing them." Right. And I give him credit for that. I don't think Jaren would have played 37 minutes with if Jaren had gotten a fourth foul in the first minute of the second half with Taylor Jenkins coaching, Jaren would not have finished the game with 37 minutes. And so I think that's great the way Isola handled it. I don't think that had anything to do with the outcome of the game, really. Right. They're getting cooked. I do think it hurt them to get the bigs out, but they got them back in so quickly, and they were both in the game at the start of the second half when the Grizzlies started getting roasted. I don't think that had much to do with the outcome of the game. I think it's an easy thing to get mad about.
Jeffrey, what's the line tonight? Obviously, they got in supposedly at 4 a.m. or something like that. They played Denver.
I'm seeing 6.5.
6.5. So they're underdogs tonight.
Yep.
This would be a...
It's a bad spot. It's a bad spot. It's a hard thing to win. It's the kind of game where... it would be surprising to win. It would not be surprising to lose by 25, right?
Right.
But you play the games for a reason, right? No one thought San Antonio was going to win at Golden State the other night in a game they had nothing to play for, so who knows?
If you lose this game, and Minnesota, by the way, they got Brooklyn and
Utah.
So you will then be passed by Minnesota if you lose this game.
Right.
And you will be off. You'll be able to sleep in your own bed. Covering the first play-in game, right?
The most likely scenario, I think, at this point would be the Grizzlies as the 8 playing the Warriors as the 7.
Oh, with the Timberwolves being in.
If the Timberwolves win their last two games, I think they're going to be the 6. Yeah. So I think the most likely
is you're going to be.
There's still a range. All kinds of things could still happen at this point. But the most likely scenario I think, is the Grizzlies as the 8 and the Warriors as 7.
So then you go to the Bay Area for that
game. I don't know whether I'd be going. I don't know if we're going to send multiple people for a single
the thing game.
Is, it's a single game that is not an elimination game. So either the Grizzlies win that game and they set up a playoff series against the Rockets, or they lose that game and they come back home to play an elimination game. Right. So I don't know if we're going to be sending multiple people to California for one game.
So, and then they would play. Then we'd be in this miserable Sophie's Choice of an elimination game.
Right. Where every both outcomes are bad in different ways. Yeah.
Okay. So I never did ask you about what's new in film this week, Chris.
I played John Lennon to start the segment. And so there's a documentary. It's called One on One. I forget the main title. It's One Yoko. Something, colon, John and Yoko. And it's a documentary. It's this filmmaker, Scottish filmmaker. He's done, like, he did The Last King of Scotland, which was a Forrest Whitaker thing or whatever. But he's done a Bob Marley documentary and a Whitney Houston documentary. And this is a John and Yoko documentary. And it's about their time in New York in the early 70s, I think. And it's going to be showing at Paradiso on the IMAX. So if you're a big Beatles fan, that might be something worth checking out. Other than that, there's some, you know, action movies opening up. But it's, you know, spring is a fallow period.
Fallow is a good word that you don't hear a lot on sports talk radio. So
that's what I'm here for.
I like fallow.
Vocabulary boost. That's
my role. The vocabulary boost. Indy Memphis is taking is pausing.
Yeah.
What's your understanding of?
Jody Callahan, I think, did that story for us. I haven't looked into it. I assume it's a fundraising related thing. I feel like I don't want this to sound critical because I don't know enough, but I feel like they sort of became a little bit more of an organization like related to the film community specifically and not related to the general community. And I always felt like it should be more focused on trying to draw people who aren't like part of the film scene into like see interesting stuff. And I hope they come back not only for the festival, Well, yeah, meaning a lot of programming was more like workshop-y kind of stuff, like professional networking kind of stuff. And then I think
as opposed to bringing in interesting films that people.
Yeah, I think some of the film stuff they brought in got to be pretty specialized, really, and a little less broad. And so, I don't know. I mean, I root for it, obviously. I hope it comes back, and I'd like to see it come back in a form that is more aggressively geared towards getting people to come see movies.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it. It's Chris Harrington from The Daily Memphian. You can read his piece over at The Daily Memphian. If you want something framed, I have the place for you. It's right in the name, The Frame Corner. 50 years. They've been at it for 50 years. I have used the place recently. Absolutely stunning piece that is now on our wall. So if you're getting some sports memorabilia, maybe your kid's jersey, finishing up senior year, or a beautiful piece of art, graduation pictures, wedding photos, whatever it is, your grandfather's arrowhead collection, your grandfather's flag that he had flying at his home, whatever it is that means the world to you, it'll mean the world to them, and it'll be beautiful. It's the Frame Corner, Memphis, 5035 Park Avenue. Got to take a break. Back in a moment. Jeff Calkins here, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
You want to feel better? Go to O'Call. That's my simple message for the day. You want to feel better? Go to Oak Hall. It may or may not be a long playoff season, but it's actually been a long Easter season. You know, Easter is,
yeah.
You know, it has. It's like Easter's later, it feels like, this year. It's a long Easter season. Spring is here. It's Masters season. And this is the perfect time to get in there and spruce up your spring wardrobe. I was in there just the other day. Stunning array of colors, sports shirts, polos, performance. It's just beautiful. Just beautiful stuff. Peter Millar, Johnny O, Alan Payne, all that. You walk in and the place is just lit up. And so whether you're heading on vacation or whether you've got graduation events or whether you're heading just to your own backyard, this is the time to get in to Oak Hall. The same people who there all year long help you through the Christmas season. Here's the other thing. This is true. I bought a shirt there. And then I decided, you know what? The arms on this shirt, it was a dress shirt. It's a little too long. So I walked in there probably a year after I bought it. And I said, could we fix this? And they said, of course they could fix this. And the tailor's right there. And then, by the way, they have the people who do the adjustments. They do the alterations. I guess that's the word I'm looking for. They're right there, too. Deeply skilled, deeply experienced. The place is just fabulous. We are lucky to have it this weekend sometime. Go in and see our friends at Oak Hall. Jeffrey, okay, I got a few things to do. Did you remember the game Operation?
I do.
Did you play that? I don't think kids play Operation anymore. Operation was a game where it was on a board and there was a naked man.
A patient, yeah.
A naked patient showing none of the, you know, none of the.
It was kid friendly.
None of the genitals. It was kid friendly. And you would have to go extract. You had these little tweezers and the tweezers, if you touched, you'd have to go in and extract a bone, right? And without touching the sides, because if you did, it would buzz. And that means you lost,
yep.
Right? You played Operation.
Yes.
Well, do you remember in Right or Riot Riot Trivia yesterday, our competitor was asking what that bone is in your arm between your shoulder and your elbow, and
yes.
He said the funny bone?
I did not. Our contestant
said the funny
yes.
bone. Yes.
Yeah, Mentor said funny bone.
And I don't know how bone. You can... So Claire has sent me the Operation game, the official photo of the Operation game, and there, right there, between the shoulder and the wrist, what is that bone called? I've sent you the photo.
You have sent me the photo, and it says funny bone.
It says funny bone!
May I also point you to butterflies in the stomach? May I also point you to writer's cramp?
Okay, there's also a spare ribs. There's a bread.
A Charlie horse.
There's a wishbone, a bread basket, Adam's apple, writer's cramp, water on the knee, wrenched ankle bone connected to the knee bone, and Charlie horse. Yes. So, okay, maybe it's not official.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we shouldn't consult this.
Listen,
as our official.
I have no problem saying that was a very good guess.
Okay.
But we also consulted science, and it said it's neither a bone nor human.
Anything else you want to say about the Grizzlies? I'm feeling pretty grim. But I don't want Chris was right that, so the standings are such a mess. I misstated. I said I expected the Grizzlies to play the Timberwolves in the play-in. But the truth of the matter is, if you look at the standings, Minnesota has Utah and Brooklyn. So they're going to get their 49 wins. Let's assume, right?
I mean, that's overwhelmingly likely.
And so Minnesota's in eighth now. But if the Grizzlies lose tonight and then beat Dallas, they will be stuck at 48 wins, okay? And so Minnesota would easily, would then, you would imagine.
Because if Minnesota and Grizzlies are tied, I think the Grizzlies.
Well, no, Minnesota would, even if they're not tied, the Grizzlies would, Minnesota would win two games. That kept them to 49 wins. And the Grizzlies lose tonight,
right.
They're stuck at 48.
But I'm saying they have to get ahead of the Grizzlies.
Golden State plays the Clippers. So if Golden State wins that game, they could get to 49. And the Clippers, who now have 48, if they lose that game, they could be stuck at 49.
Correct.
So it is a...
It's what we talked about when the Warriors lost to the Spurs. Remember, we said we don't know if that's good now.
It is a total jumble. The question is... So then what happens is I go in my mind to... If they hadn't freaking lost to Brooklyn twice, or lost to the Bulls when they had the lead, or lost to, you pointed out,
the Denver, the cup game when Denver came into town with a back-to-back and played the Grizzlies
is
twice.
Is that fair to do that, or does every team have bad losses that you're inevitably going to go back and lament?
I mean, the thing is, those losses happened early enough in the season that you could have made up for it, and the Grizzlies did not. But I mean, I don't think it was revisionist history, because in real time, we're like, these do feel like losses that you're going to remember.
And the other difference is, with just any team could look back, any team in any sport could look back and say, oh, if you just hadn't lost that one, whatever. With the Grizzlies, they felt, because of the rotations, the minutes, the way that they felt self-inflicted.
Correct.
They were choices to lose.
Correct.
Choices to risk losing that game.
Correct.
It's not like, hey, anyone's going to have a bad loss. We played our best players as many minutes as we should, and we lost that game. Those losses became self-inflicted.
Last night is very different than those losses.
Yeah. So, anyway, and then, you know, the stuff about, I mean, very clearly, what Chris said is right. This is a roster issue that's immediately caused by injury because Jalen Wells and Brandon Clark are gone. But that simply highlights the thinness of the roster to begin with. The fact that you were you ended up relying on a second round pick and a guy with injury history because you didn't have anything else. And that get back to the, like, and that is where the, to me, the spotlight then does fall on Zach Kleiman, who has replaced, you know, all those deeply experienced players, Dylan, Tyus, Kyle, Melton, Adams, who you once had.
Yep.
With rookies.
Projects.
G League guys. Projects. And whiffed on. And everyone whiffs. So I'm not like, whatever. They've drafted magnificently well. But also, in this last 3 years, whiffed on Roddy, Zaire, Marcus Smart, Jake LaRavia, Luke. I think, and Marcus Smart is the biggest one. Like, yeah, that was the big swing.
Yes, because that
was a massive whiff.
Well, and it got rid of a lot of the flexibility that you had, the assets that you had.
Like, two picks to get him.
And then one
and
to get
one
rid of him.
One to get rid of him.
Yeah. Although maybe.
You could still keep that pick.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the other thing I want to discuss, because here's the problem, and we'll get into this if it comes to it. If you lose that first play-in game,
yep,
and you end up playing Dallas or Sacramento, and you win, and for the right to play Oklahoma City.
Right.
You and I, and I've gotten dramatic pushback, that Gabe completely disagrees, right? I would like them to lose that game and therefore keep their first-round draft pick because I don't need to see them get swept by Oklahoma City. Gabe is of the opposite view. Do you have a vote there?
So my official stance is I agree with you. I also do acknowledge there is a competitive aspect.
Yes. Oh, no. Both are miserable.
Correct.
But I have to pick one miserable.
And I'd rather have an asset than not.
Here's the thing that worries me in all of this, or that I would be concerned about. I mean, it's the organization that's going to be trying to win the game, so I don't have to be concerned about it one way or another.
Sure.
But in terms of, like last night, my understanding is, massive game, right?
Yep.
Was not a sellout.
No.
And the truth of the matter is, for a team that has been as good as this team has been all year long, their attendance has been disappointing.
I will at least grant the 8:30 games are tough.
No, I get that. But
yes,
like,
but it was not even close.
They rank much higher as a basketball team than they do in attendance in the league,
yeah,
right? And yes, they're tough, but it's a massive game. It didn't feel like – here's the truth. People don't believe in this team. So that's why it doesn't feel like a massive game. Maybe in Minnesota it feels like a massive game because, like, they are over their last 19, they're 15-4.
Yeah.
So maybe there, but the truth of the matter is it didn't – it's on paper a massive game. I don't think people believe in this team, and I'll be honest, I don't think for whatever reason they particularly connected to this team.
No, I think because we've been talking about this for a couple of months now. The vibes around the team are worse than the team.
Yes. And you can argue all kinds of reasons for that.
I'm not saying that people are wrong in feeling
that. Some of it's jaw. Some of the fact that it's injury. You never know who the hell's going to play. Some of it was, I don't think, whatever. There's all kinds of reasons. Why? I believe this to be true. People connected to the core four more than they connect to this team.
Yeah, I think that's true, though.
And is it because they went to the Western Conference Finals? They won more?
No, I think it's because they played hard. And they showed up.
There's a whole bunch of reasons. I mean,
they won a playoff. They won in the playoffs, which was a. And I get it. They didn't.
No, winning in the playoffs does it.
But that's a huge part of it.
We've talked about this with Memphis Tiger basketball. Like, what creates more fans? Deep tournament runs.
100%.
And you haven't had one in forever. So my point is, I then worry about, these are both demoralizing. Losing a play-in game to Sacramento or Dallas would be a demoralizing way to end the season. Also demoralizing, being swept by Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
Which is more demoralizing?
I think I would argue
the play-in game.
The play-in game, simply because that means you
lost to a bad team at home. It's going to be at home.
And you have to factor in, post All-Star break, this team was second in the West. You went from second in the West to missing the playoffs entirely.
The argument for the other being more demoralizing is it's an extended demoralizing.
It's a double-digit loss
and a double-digit loss. It doesn't have to be. They could win a game, whatever. But it feels like I remember what it felt like to be swept in the early days of the Grizzlies three straight years.
Oh, yeah.
And you just didn't feel, it didn't feel, what is the point of making the playoffs? Like, where it's non-competitive.
I mean, I remember being in the Mavericks game three at home when it looked like the Grizzlies were going to win their first playoff game. I think they were up 9 with like a minute left. And I turned to my brother going, how are we going to lose this?
Like that sound that we play at the beginning of the radio show where it's
Jason Williams,
that was in this context. It was one of these sweeps. It may have been the third sweep, honestly. I think it was the third sweep. And it was, again, I wrote an idiotic column, but it was ridiculous. It shows the frustration of that moment.
Sure.
And so that's not fun either. Getting bested by a team that,
no, having to take your beating for an extended week and a half.
Worse. If it were a one game series against Oklahoma City, that might be different. I don't know which is more demoralizing, but I don't want the fan base to be demoralized, because here's the other truth. I actually feel pretty good about the future, because I think investing in Jalen Wells and Zach Edey next year is a lot more sound than investing in them this year. You know what I mean? I want more.
I get what you're saying, and I don't disagree, but I just really think this team has got to get some type of veteran presence.
Well, yesterday, we were talking about fire-breathing coach. Forget fire-breathing coach.
Fire-breathing dude.
How about a fire-breathing player?
Get some dogs
who will punch someone rather than give up 52 points in a quarter.
Get some dogs.
All right, speaking of dogs.
Oh, boy.
This is not a transition. What's happening at the Masters?
Jeff, over at Augusta, Father Time apparently not an issue right now for Freddie? Justin Rose. Oh. Although, Freddie, that was awesome yesterday. God, he looks so good. The salt and pepper, everything, just hamming it up. Justin Rose threw 10 holes, 1 under today. He currently leads the Masters at 8 under par. He is 2 shots in front of Bryson DeChambeau. Awesome. Ludvig Åberg, who is at 4 under. He is tied with Corey Connors, Scotty Scheffler. They are yet to tee off. Matt Fitzpatrick out to 3 under, as is Sungjae Im.
How about your boy?
Jeff, yesterday was a roller coaster.
Some blunders.
I don't know if I've ever had this experience. I mean, there is probably some Phil moments in there. But when he hit his 4-iron on 15, and it looks like it's dead center right at the flag, and I'm going, he's going to win the Masters. It, of course, bounces over the green. Then I have to give a quick shout out to Paul McGinley. I didn't know what the spin zone was going to be from Camp Rory. Listen, it was a bad shot. It was a poorly executed shot. But we can't ignore the fact that Akshay Bhatia iced him. It took like 5.5 minutes for Rory to actually hit his chip shot. So it's really not our fault. We got iced, and then he hit it. He hits it into the water, and then the bogey on 17 was just so sloppy. So you go from, if he just makes par the rest of the way, he would have been at 4 under and very much in it, to he lost the tournament. So, and it was a span of literally 2 consecutive shots.
We got NFL news as well. Joe Flacco.
He's back, baby.
Back to the Browns.
The Cleveland Browns and veteran quarterback Joe Flacco have reached an agreement on a 1-year, $4 million contract. His agent, Joe Linta, told ESPN's Adam Schefter on Friday. The deal returns Flacco to Cleveland, where he won the NFL's Comeback Player of the Year in 2023.
So this means you think they've given up on the Kirk Cousins?
I mean,
thing?
That what people
feels like it,
what
right?
People are speculating, because they also made the move to trade for Kenny Pickett. That is what people are saying. I wonder, though, does this open up maybe drafting a quarterback?
Or is that your quarterback? You got Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco, and we'll just go away.
But
we
I'm
go.
Saying, and then you take the young guy to, and now you have your options.
You're just hoping because you want them to take a quarterback.
Yes,
right?
I really want Travis Hunter.
Because you want Travis Hunter to fall to the Giants. That does not feel like it is happening. Isaiah Bond, Texas wide receiver. This seems like bad timing. Let's be honest. Official position of the Jeff Garkin Show is always bad timing to be charged with sexual assault.
Correct.
But
Even worse,
2 weeks before the NFL draft.
Correct.
And he already had quote-unquote character questions about him. So that doesn't seem particularly good.
I mean, can you draft him? Because he was charged. These are not allegations. He was charged, right?
Will he be undrafted? I don't know that he will be undrafted. That's interesting. He could be undrafted. I suppose there you go. So, and then I'll wrap up the week. We need something light.
Okay.
Have anything light? Do you have anything light?
Ron gave me this morning.
Gives me. What did he give you?
A guy got a fungal infection in his lungs from sniffing his own dirty socks. A guy in China showed up at the ER with a fungal infection in his lungs. Turned out he got it from sniffing his own smelly socks.
Okay, that's good.
Work.
Well, here's what he gave me. He gave me examples of being pecked last in gym class.
This one yesterday.
As a grown-up.
Yeah.
Okay? Which one resonates with you? Not because it would be which feels like it is akin to being picked last. Getting invited out to be the designated driver.
That one's tough.
I don't think that really happens. If you declare yourself to be not drinking, you can become the designated driver.
Correct.
No one says, hey, would you like to come as the designated driver? I think that's a whiff. Friends wanting to take a group photo together and handing you the phone.
See, I used to be the guy, just because I would take the picture just because it's like... It would take so much longer if no one volunteered.
People talking about party plans in front of you but not inviting you. I don't think that happens. See, this is exactly
I think
right.
This is the classic, you don't talk about the party.
Exactly, people won't. Everyone going out for lunch at work but not asking you to join? That can happen, I think, right?
Yeah, that one would be kind of tough. Like, at least give the courtesy. Hey, would you
okay,
like
Okay, this one is, I don't know if this is the same. When you've met someone multiple times, but they still say, hey, nice to meet you.
Yeah.
Or they introduce themselves. I don't say, hey, nice to meet you, but I do say, I'm guilty of this. I say, hey, Jeff Calkins. And they're like, oh, yeah, we've met a million times.
Yeah, I do that one. I don't know. I always just introduce myself. I think people know, it's like, are you trying to, like, we can tell if you're trying to big league somebody. Like,
but no, it's not that you're trying to build league. It's that you didn't care enough to know who they were. And I'm guilty. It's not. Nobody eating your dish at the potluck? That's kind of it. Yeah. I think that's kind of it.
Especially if you were, like, psyched about it. Like, if you were like, oh, this one's good, and you bring it and no one touches it, that's a tough one.
Being seated at the kids' table because there's not enough room. I don't think that necessarily happens, but I do think if you're at a wedding, the table that you're at can be like being
Absolutely.
Picked last.
And I got to tell you.
You can be in the leftovers table.
100%.
The flotsam jets.
This works both ways. At the last wedding I went to for my buddy, we were table one. And let me tell you what, you hold up that number one with so much pride. I was going around to every other one of my friends being like,
I want to thank Ron Olson for this. Grizz tonight.
Hooray.
Massive game. Hey.
Why not?
Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
Germans.
If you want a new financial institution, Leaders Credit Union is the place to go. I can say that because we were in there recently ourselves. They got a Bartlett location. They got an brand new Arlington location, but none of that matters. You just download the app, the Leaders Credit Union app. It is sensational. And if you're fed up with your financial institution because it's changed name seven times or because they nickel and dime you, or maybe you just maybe you're looking for a new place to get a car loan or a home loan, Leaders Credit Union is the place to check out. Go to leaderscu.com/ESPN. Jeffrey, what is coming up next on 92.9?
Jeff, here's what's coming up next on Jason and John. Anthony Sane will join their program today. Tim Murray will be with me on Jeffrey Wright and Company. Cobb will be with Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening. We got to get out of here. Back on Monday. Have a great weekend. For now, our work is done.
Hey, everyone. Quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high-quality meats, or just a quick, healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.